From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
And welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And we are so glad that you've stayed inside on this kind of bizarre Saturday. I thought it was going to be warmer. I walked out. It was like we were in autumn again. I just don't understand what's going on with the weather. But anyway, we're so glad that you're listening, and we want you to become part of the show. Our number is 800-848-9222. And to start the discussion, I'm a little nervous about this topic because I don't want it to go off the rails. But as you just heard, a major political figure went to a restaurant last night and was denied service. She tweeted about it. And in response, on Yelp, on TripAdvisor, on the Facebook page, there were dozens upon dozens of bad reviews posted.
Thousands. On Facebook right now, there are 23,000 reviews as of this moment.
Well, and I just looked at Yelp. They've taken them down, so they did catch them. So I want to talk about, not about this incident. I don't want to talk about whether or not she should have been kicked out of a restaurant. I think we all can agree that businesses should not discriminate against clients, whether it be race, gender, political, what have you. You don't discriminate.
We're going to be talking travel today, and the aspect we want to talk about is user reviews. If this can happen so quickly to one establishment, 23,000 reviews, pretty much over 4 hours, obviously all those people did not go there. How much should we trust user reviews?
Yeah. And some of the user reviews were pretty tricky. I mean, they had pictures of undercooked chicken up on this site claiming
they were fake. They didn't really eat there. They found a picture.
They found a picture. And I'm always told by people when they tell me how much they love using TripAdvisor or Yelp or one of the other user review sites, they say, I can always tell when a review is fake. But looking at all of these reviews, they had photos, they had details. People had obviously gone and looked at the menu. I think if people hadn't known that this was all part of a news story, they wouldn't have known. And something like this, if a restaurant gets a lot of bad reviews, it can put them out of business. What if a competitive restaurant had done this to them? I think it's easily done.
So we want to know your thoughts about user reviews, how much you trust them, and has your trust increased or decreased over time? The number for that, give us a call. We promise we're going to play nice, as we've just indicated. The number is 800-848-9222. Now, Pauline knows that the listeners don't. I'm in Orlando again this week, like I was last week, because I'm researching the next edition of The Fromer's Guide, going to the new Toy Story Land in a couple days at Disney. And one thing I've noticed in Orlando is many of the top-rated hotels on TripAdvisor are actually timeshares.
Huh.
So people who own timeshares and they rent them out when they're not here give their own property a five-star review, I guess in the hopes that people will go to that property and therefore rent their own timeshare. And so I'm always very skeptical in this city about the well-reviewed properties on TripAdvisor. Today, I'm in a place called the Villas of Grand Cypress, which is always pretty much at the top of TripAdvisor. And I've been very skeptical of it for years, but I finally decided to come give it a try. And it's gorgeous. But about eight of the other 10 on this list of top 10 are clearly stuffing the ballot box. And so there's a real dichotomy. You have to be very careful and know the market.
Yeah. So have you had good luck with user-generated reviews, with TripAdvisor, with Yelp? Give us a call, 800-848-9222. We want to hear from you. You know, I often talk about this in the context of how travel writers work. You're in Orlando. You've seen, over the years, pretty much every darn hotel in Orlando. And so when you review them, you know that you're in this one place, but right up the road there's someplace that's nicer, that's cheaper, perhaps, that has more amenities. Whereas when you're reading user-generated reviews, you're often taking the advice of somebody who's been to exactly one place, and they have no idea what the market offers.
Yeah, I often find this when I do my London book, TripAdvisor from American. The Americans' reviews will be, oh, the room is so small, I'll never stay here again. But what you don't know about London, most Americans, because they only know one hotel, is most of the rooms in London are quite small because of the way the city has evolved over time, because of how rooms were divided to house servicemen during the war. I mean, there's lots of reasons. And so it's a normal thing to have a small room. It's nothing to penalize a hotel for, but yet people will give a place 2 stars when in fact it is the cultural norm.
Yeah, and that's the thing with New York, actually. The rooms here, I write Frommer's Easy Guide to New York City. The rooms here are minuscule. It's crazy. It seems like often the hoteliers seem to be competing with them, each other, to see how small they can make the rooms and still fit a bed in them. So that's just the culture in New York City. And you will often see bad reviews saying, oh, I didn't like this place because it was too small. So anyway, that's what we're discussing. But we'll also discuss whatever is on your mind. If you're about to leave on vacation, if you want advice on that, give us a call, 800-848-9222. We have Dave on the line from Forest Hills. Hey, Dave, thank you for calling.
How's it going?
Good.
Hi.
Listen, I'm a healthcare professional, and we got trashed on Yelp because one guy had to wait like 15 minutes.
Huh.
And we figured out who it was. We knew who it was, and we spoke to an attorney. He said, freedom of speech, there's nothing you can do. And it was so annoying. It was so aggravating that somebody could just write these things that are untrue.
Yeah.
Just because he was immature and impatient.
15 minutes in a doctor's office. That actually sounds fast to me.
Yeah, I'd like to go there.
So did it hurt your business, do you think? Did you feel an impact?
We don't really know, but, you know, when you see your name on the screen and negative things are applied to it, and we try so hard to satisfy everybody and be as professional as possible, this can ruin it. Can ruin it. We have no statistics on how badly we were damaged on it, but it was just a horrible experience for
us. I'm sorry to hear that, Dave. Yeah, interesting.
And by the way, I think I told you this before, I took your guy to Hong Kong and Tokyo, and it got me got me right through. It was great. I even went to a baseball game in the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, how cool. That's great. Well, thank you, Dave. Thanks for letting us know. You know, it's interesting. I mean, Dave is in another profession, obviously, but this is such an big impact on travel. I think more than any other industry, perhaps, restaurants and hotels can be really impacted by these reviews because you don't have people who will be there more than once often. So that, you know, it's not like they pass by a neighborhood place and can try it over and over and then develop their own experience with it. They rely on these reviews because they know they're only going to be there once. And that's why many hotels hire teams of people to post fake reviews on the web. There was a thing on 60 Minutes about it recently. All right, let's get on to some other news. One of the biggest travel holidays is coming up. I'm talking about the 4th of July, and AAA is out with its expectations, and boy, is it going to be crowded this year. It's going to be another record time for travel. If you are traveling, know that you're going to be in the company of 46.9 million other folks. So you're going to have to be strategic. What's the advice, Jason?
You're asking a travel guy. The travel guy stays away. I don't travel on holidays because I'm a travel guy, right? And I know how difficult it is to travel on holidays. I know that not everybody has that luxury. One piece of advice, if you have to go, for example, on Tuesday, which is the day before the 4th of July, don't go in the afternoon. Everyone gets off work late and they go in the afternoon. What you really want to try to do, obviously you go before, the day before, or even in the morning if you can, because the research has been done and traffic is going to be almost 3 times what it normally is on a Tuesday afternoon on the 3rd of July. So you really just want to stay away from that.
Yeah, in fact, I think, was it AAA? They posted the hours of 3:30 to 6:30, saying if you're in New York City in particular, getting out of the city will take twice as long.
Yeah, it's true at pretty much every major city. They put out figures, and it's all between 3 and 6. But New York was special because it was about three times as rough. Other cities, you know, like San Francisco was only about 1.7 times as bad, like so half as much. So New York gets it particularly bad because there's so many of us.
Yeah. I'm looking at the clock. We have to take a tiny, tiny break. But don't go away because we will be right back with more of the Frommer Travel Show after these messages.
77 WABC. The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz Travel Insurance. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And we also hope you'll give us a call. 800-848-9222 is our number. For those who like to spell it, that's 800-848-WABC. So, Jason, you are in Orlando. What are some of the new things that you've seen while you're there?
Well, every year, you know, it's my job to sort of ride the new rides and run around and check out the new food.
And be a kid again.
Kind of, yeah. In fact, I wish I had some kids with me because you would enjoy it so much more. This week I went to Gatorland, which is it's one of the first theme parks, amusement parks they had in Central Florida. It's been open since the 40s when it was just, of course, a bunch of gators and some pools, and that was enough. But this is that classic place that you imagine when you think of these old-time gator theme parks, you know, where the big burly guy gets on top of the alligator and opens his mouth.
Oh, boy, yeah.
The whole thing. It's a lot of fun, though. It's real mom and pop. Lately, they've been putting in, like, rides that they've designed themselves. One of them is like a swamp buggy that goes over the up and down and up and down over the land out back and through a gator pool. It's kind of adorable, and I love it, and I wish more people would go. When you go into the place, it's a local landmark. It's an enormous green gator jaw that you walk through.
Used
to be, to walk into the place, you had to go through the thing. But it's definitely a big Instagram thing. Gatorland is one of those old Florida landmarks, like Cypress Gardens was, where those Esther Williams movies were filmed back in the day. You don't see much of anymore, but it's the reason Orlando became so popular, is because people would go for that kind of thing. You know, one of the things that's happening here, by the way, is Universal Orlando, which, as everyone knows, is like one of the two big gorillas of amusement parks.
It's Disney and Universal duking it out for supremacy.
Duking it out. Comcast versus Disney, because Comcast owns Universal. But Universal is doing something that Disney has not had the courage to do, which is charge people affordable prices on hotels. Disney's cheapest hotel costs about $110 a night, and that's only on a couple of nights a year. Usually it's much higher. And that's for a very basic motel-style room with two beds.
That isn't near the entry to Disney World. You actually kind of have to commute at the All-Star Resorts.
Only the expensive $700, $800, $900 rooms are by the parks.
Wow.
You would need to take a bus, you know, 4 or 5 miles to get to the place I'm talking about. Well, Universal is building, again, far away from its gates, but it's building them, two new hotels that open next year. And the opening price for a standard room will be $79, which –
That's nice. It's a
little more than half of what it is to cost to go to Disney, which is really remarkable, I think, because, you know, the up until now, both of the major theme park resorts just figure that for the privilege of staying on their property, you're willing to pay for an arm and a leg. But Universal has really been building a lot more hotels lately. It opens one in 2 months and two more over the next couple of years. I think it'll have 8 or 9 hotels pretty soon. It had 3 a couple years ago. So it's really an all-out war. And fortunately now, the war is making it cheaper for people.
Yeah. Will Universal do what Disney does? Because I know that a lot of people say, oh, but when you stay on Disney property, you get that magic hour. You get to stay, either get into the parks an hour earlier or stay an hour later when everybody else is kicked out. And a lot of people put great value on that.
They do. And at Disney, it can be a very useful way to cram in one or two rides that are normally too busy. Universal has something that I think is a little better, at least if at its moderate and expensive hotels. You can use your room key to go in the side door of the most of the biggest attractions, and so you get the really short line.
Oh.
It's the equivalent of what Disney would call a fast pass. But instead of having to book them the way you do at Disney, you just use your room key, and you just go right in.
Oh, that's
It's called Express.
Nice. Wow.
And people who aren't staying at a Universal hotel have to pay for that. Could be more than $100 for the day.
Huh.
But it's free if you're staying at a hotel. Now, the cheapest hotels won't have that. Some of the cheapest hotels will have other perks, like every now and then you'll be able to get into a place early. Really, you have to stay at a moderate to expensive hotel. Spend more than $150 a night to get that kind of perk. And it's a great perk because it means you can go in one day when it would usually take you two. You can cram a lot more in.
And so you can use that for the Harry Potter stuff too?
In the very beginning, you weren't allowed to use it for Harry Potter because it was the most popular ride. I don't know if that's changed, but usually for the first year or two while there's a huge line, you can't use any kind of pass on it, just to be fair to everyone. But that changes with time. Even at Disney, you can't use a lot of types of fast passes on their Pandora stuff because that just opened. And I did go to the Pandora last week. You had to wait 2 hours to ride the main ride. And that was a good day. I've seen it at 4 hours sometimes, which is madness. 4 hours without a bathroom.
Ooh, oh my goodness. They don't let you off the line to use the loo?
There is no loo. There's no bathroom in the building. They built the ride without a bathroom in the line.
Is it beautiful, though? I mean, it's Pandora.
It's beautiful. It's a feast for this sight, for the senses. You know, it's gorgeous. Everyone loves it. That's why it's a 2-3 hour wait sometimes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I can't imagine that. And you also, beyond all of the, well, you also did a virtual reality ride, right? Or was that Pandora?
Yeah, we talked about this a few weeks ago when Susie Story was interviewed on the show. There's a new trend among roller coasters across the country, not just in Orlando, where they'll take an older coaster and then outfit the ride with virtual reality goggles. And you put them on and there's speakers over your ears. And there's an animation that plays in accompaniment to the movement. So I went to one that they do in SeaWorld that they put on the Kraken coaster last year. And you're going underwater. You're being attacked by a squid. There's an underwater volcano. I think it's like a hat on top of a hat. I think it's a little too much because you're already 200 feet in the air on the roller coaster about to do a loop. You need more than that, you know, and also you
can't. Some do.
They say again and again and again, you must keep your head back, keep your head back, keep your head back, because when you don't see the curves coming, you don't know how to compensate, and you can easily get whiplash, turns out, with these virtual reality rides. But then it takes also a much longer time to load the car because they have to wipe down between the last passenger with a sanitary wipe, and they have to fix it to your head. And it also almost flew off my head in the middle of the ride. It's tethered to the car, but it just to me, it doesn't work out. And in fact, in the beginning, they put all of the rows had the virtual reality. They took it away. When it came back a couple months later, only 3 of like the 8 or 10 rows now have virtual reality. You choose. You want to do it the regular way? Do you want to do it with virtual reality? And most people are choosing not to do the virtual reality. So it might be a trend that's going to fizzle out before too long.
Yeah. Well, beyond the theme parks, you also went to a very, I don't know, how do you, a spiritual place, odd place?
They call it the psychic capital of the world. Now, New Yorkers might have heard of a place called Lilydale, which is up near Buffalo on Lake Erie, and it was a town founded by psychics or spiritualists, I guess you might say, and you have to be a certified one to live within the borders of the town. Well, in Lilydale, we're talking the 1870s, some of them got too cold, as you can imagine, up there by Lake Erie, and decided they wanted somewhere warmer, and they broke off, and they founded a second town in Central Florida called Casadega in 1875. You have to be a credentialed psychic or spiritualist to live in this town, and you go to the central bookstore and civic center the bulletin board.
Visitors come. It's not just for psychics to live together. It's for them to read the future of their visitors, right?
Yeah. Well, what they tend to do more than read the future is see the spirit around them. So like the people in your life who have passed or, you know, it's also it's Christian-based psychic. So there's actually church services on Sundays. It's a fascinating place, one of the most unique places in America. And when you roll into town, you can choose who's available today. You look at the bulletin board and you go over and you can have a reading done if you choose. At nighttime, there's a very haunted, creaky wooden hotel, and they'll do walking tours of the town where you take photographs and then come back and look for orbs. you know, those little
floating, on the photographs. Or,
which might be dust, but it might be a ghost in the photos. And so they do ghost orb tours. They do walking tours at night. And it's this old, beautiful Florida town with, like, you know, sort of like ramshackle houses and Spanish moss hanging from the trees.
Wow.
It's kind of a gorgeous, and it's about 45 minutes north of Orlando off of I-4, which is the main highway, of course, cutting through Florida.
It really is
one of the most unique places
in the country. Do you pay admission to get into the town?
How much in Lipsdale you do, but you don't in Casadega. You could walk right in.
And how much does a reading cost?
The first time I went there about 10 years ago, I paid $30. And for an hour. And when I went back this time, I decided to do one, and I paid $50 for an hour.
Can we ask, what does your future hold? Are you in a good mood
they're,
today or a bad
mood? They're not good at telling the future.
Okay.
They're just good at I'm kind of a skeptic about these things, and I'm very careful not to even move a muscle when they say things to me, so to give them any clues about me. But, you know, he seemed to see people in my vibration who I could have identified, you know.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. And they'll give you a recording of it too. What I do is I put them in a drawer, and then 4 or 5 years later, I go listen to the recording again and see if anything came true. And sometimes it's wackadoodle, and sometimes I'm like, oh, he was kind of right.
Well, we have to take a break. Let me remind everybody, our phone number is 800-848-9222. Let me also remind folks that we are here partially thanks to Allianz Travel Insurance, which is one of our advertisers. And as most of you should know by this point, you don't want to be out there on your own when things go wrong, when your luggage goes missing, when you get sick on the road and have to be medevaced out or find an English language doctor, when you miss the cruise ship and have to get to the first port. These are scenarios, and there are many others, where travel insurance can help. And Allianz Travel Insurance is one of the best. If you want to learn about all of their policies, visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Travel Show. We are taking your calls, 800-848-9222. And I know, Jason, you wanted to discuss something before we got to the calls.
Well, we were talking very quickly at the very top of the story about whether we trust user reviews. And we talked about an incident yesterday where a political figure was denied service at a restaurant, and suddenly all of their user reviews or online reviews were being bombarded with negatives. Well, Yelp has cleaned up its board. And TripAdvisor has cleaned up its board, so all the things that have poured in are gone. Facebook has not bothered to clean up its online reviews. It started at 23,000 when we started the show. Now it's at 26,000. Three more thousand added. Facebook doesn't seem to show any interest in combing out the fraudulent reviews. It's something to think about.
Interesting. All right, let's get back to the phones. Once again, the number is 800-848-WABC. That is the number that Jeffrey in Manhattan called. Hey, Jeffrey, thank you for calling.
Hello. My boss, I'm in Manhattan. My boss booked me on a business trip to Kuwait on Kuwait Airways or Kuwait Airlines, whatever it is. Kuwait Airways. And somebody told me I'm Jewish, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a policy where they don't fly Jewish people, or they ban them, or am I going to be in any trouble?
Jason, you...
There was, about a year or two ago, a case of them not flying an Israeli. They don't have a policy against flying Jewish people, but there has been trouble, and it's something to do with Kuwaiti law about transporting Israelis. You know how that fight in the Middle East goes. So if you're traveling on an American passport, you won't have trouble flying. You will not, however, probably get a kosher meal. I don't think they cater to kosher meals. Everything is halal.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, are they going to check my name and harass me?
I haven't heard of that.
No.
I've just heard if you have your passport is Israeli, they will possibly give you trouble.
Yeah, I hope that helps, Jeffrey. Enjoy your trip. Let's turn to John in Staten Island. Hey, John, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Take a trip with my friend, and I was just thinking about doing like an animal bank trip or something. Do you know any of them, like, cater to, I'd be able to, you know,
you know what?
Animals that would save?
It's a little hard to hear you, but I know from our screener, Jen, that your question is, are there any large animal sanctuaries where you can stay over, interact with the exotic animals? It's interesting. There's a wonderful travel writer named Andrea Sachs. She works for the Washington Post. And she did just this, and I can't remember the name of the sanctuary that she worked at, but if you look at her article on the Washington Post site, she went there and she became a foster mother during her stay to a baby chimpanzee. Something had happened to the chimpanzee's mother, and they needed somebody to basically carry this chimpanzee all day long and sleep with the chimpanzee, because that's how mothers interact with their babies in that species. And so she had this incredible vacation in Africa where she became a foster mother briefly to a chimpanzee. And I know that the sanctuary where she volunteered also had taken in other baby animals, often because of poachers in those areas. So look for Andrea Sachs' article. Her last name is spelled S-A-C-H-S. That's the best description I've heard of this.
And I think I found the article you're talking about. And the headline, if you're doing a search, is, at a Namibian sanctuary, you don't just see the wildlife, you care for them. Yeah. At a Namibian sanctuary, you don't just see the wildlife, by Andrea Sachs.
Yeah, it's a wonderful article, and it sounds like a terrific organization. So I hope that helps. Let's turn to Angela in Whitestone, New York. Hey, Angela, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. We are going to London in August with two of our grandchildren, aged, she's almost 15, he's 12 and a half. And I've already booked the Harry Potter, and I booked the High Tea at One Aldwych, and I also have Thriller, the Michael Jackson in concert. And what I would like is a really good a walking tour you might recommend, and also I keep looking up at this London Pass and wondering, is that a good deal? I mean, do you really get a good, you know, can you?
Okay, we'll do the pass first. If you're only there a couple days, I don't think you can possibly make your money pay back, because it costs so much that you have to race from thing to thing to thing in order to basically make it all pay back. So I would probably recommend you don't do the pass. That way you'll have a little bit more time to have a lunch, you know, to see things. So I'm not a big London Pass person in this case. Now, for as far as walking tours, the best advice I can give you, since I don't know everybody's interests, is to tell you about London Walks. It's this huge outfit. They literally have dozens of different walking tours every single day, and all kinds of different topics to suit everybody all over town. They're £10 each. You don't have to reserve in most cases. You just show up at the meeting point and go. So I would recommend London Walks then, and look at the menu. It changes day to day to day. Their website couldn't be easier. It's walks.com.
Angela, how old are the kids?
Our granddaughter will be 15 in August, and he is 12 and a half, our grandson.
Is there anything that she hasn't thought of, Jason, that you think would be good for teens and tweens?
When you say the Harry Potter thing, does that mean you're doing a walking tour, or are you going out to the studio where they shot the films?
We're going out to the studio.
Good. That's the number one thing that I recommend to people. You know, there's also a walking tour. Everybody does a Harry Potter walking tour now, but one of the most popular ones is Muggle tours. And you know what a Muggle is. It's one of us. We're non-magical people. So Muggle tours also has a pretty good walking tour within London of some of the shooting sites that they've had for Harry Potter.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and if you got to that the Harry Potter show in the West End, you'd have an entire Harry Potter vacation.
Yes. Now, for those listening, Michael Jackson is not back among us. There is like a musical review called Thriller on Shaftesbury Avenue where you can see people tribute him. Michael Jackson is still gone.
Yeah. We have to take another quick break, but to Lois, we will get to you as soon as we get back. Anybody else who wants to call, our number is 800-848-9222. And let me just talk about one of our sponsors once again. I'm talking about Allianz Travel Insurance. They're more than travel insurance now, we are proud to say, because we've partnered with them to give their clients really great information on two dozen or more destinations. We will tell you when you buy a policy, you will get information on the best places to see in that area, how to put together an itinerary, and much, much more. To learn all about this, plus all the policies you can buy, visit ALLIANZ travelinsurance.com. That's ALLIANZ travelinsurance.com.
The most popular destinations for you and your family, right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit ALLIANZ travelinsurance.com. We also hope that you'll hit the phones. Our number, once again, is 800-848-9222. We got about 15 minutes in the show left, so we'd love to hear from you. And right now, we're going to hear from Lois in Queens. Welcome, Lois.
Thank you, Pauline. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I heard on the radio advertisement, and I don't know if I got it all right, but Oprah and Gail are having a trip. It's called a Bring Your Friend trip in November 19, and it's on the Holland American ship. Have you heard about that?
Well, I don't know about this specific cruise. This is something a lot of celebrities do. They put on special sailings, usually in tandem with an organization like Holland America. Holland America is one of the United States' most respected and long-running cruise lines. It tends to get an older crowd. It tends to be a little less frenetic in terms of its design and in terms of the amenities on board than some of the other cruise lines like Royal Caribbean or Norwegian. And by that I mean there's not always rock music blaring in every corner. It tends to be a little more sedate. Am I answering your question? I feel like I'm stumbling a bit.
No. You are answering it. I just wanted to know something about the ship because I had never heard of Holland America. I have heard other ships, you know.
Holland America is the name of the cruise line. The ship they're going to be using for that particular trip is going to be called the New Statendam. And they're spelling it the Dutch way, which is N-I-E-U-W, Statendam, like Staten Island, D-A-M. That's a good way to sort of, if you want to research what's on that ship, you'll need to the name of the ship, because if you look for Holland America, you're going to find everything in its fleet.
Yeah, and I think that's what, about 20 ships they have?
Okay.
Yeah, so Holland America is the line.
So the ship is called the N-I-E-U-W-D-A-N.
Statendam, like Staten New? Island with dam at the end.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. New Statendam is the name of the ship. See, it's Holland, so there's a Dutch influence in the name of a lot of its ships.
But
okay.
It could be fun. What the heck?
Yeah. I'm a friend of mine, we're looking into it. I have another question.
Sure.
Do you have, what kind of trips, or if somebody's looking for a trip around getting healthy, like going someplace where you sit in the sun, where you cleanse your body, where you eat organic foods, is there anything like that out there?
Oh, yes, sure. Wellness travel, as it's called, is a huge trend. If you go to our website, frommers.com, and you use the pull-down menu, you'll see dozens of trips. I mean, there are spas that will do this. There are health centers where it's not just a spa, but you also meet with a physician who gives you a baseline, gives you a goal. You learn about nutrition. You learn about exercise. You eat a healthy diet. I mean, there's dozens of ways that this is being done. There are even now tours for wellness where you go to, say, Arizona with a bunch of people who want to become healthier, and you spend each day doing a different hike, or rock climbing, or doing other activities that are good for promoting health.
And Pauline, I know your father, Arthur Frommer, has written a lot about the Duke Diet and Fitness Center, which is a similar sort of experience.
Although
where you get
What he doesn't write is that he snuck out. They have like a reduced calorie menu every day, and I think he snuck out a couple of nights and got extra food because he found it a little draconian.
Although, boy, I hope he's not listening to this show right now. You're listening. In trouble.
I am in trouble. Thank you for calling, Lois. I hope that helped. So a lot of interesting things happening in the world of travel. One of the things that shouldn't be too surprising but is, New Zealand is adding a tourist tax. This is something that many, many destinations have that you don't usually know until you get there. It's a tax that's only on tourists. I think it's going to be $25 to come into the country. It hits in 2019, so you're okay for this year. But it's an interesting thing, and it can add a lot in terms of costs. For example, in the United States, there are certain gateways where if you want to rent a car, the taxes on that car rental are so high that it makes it really tough on the budget. I used to be Dallas-Fort Worth. If you rented a car in Dallas, or it might have been Houston, or it might have been both of them, actually, the taxes were outrageous. I think it's a way for politicians to raise revenues without having to tax the people who vote for them. So they tax the tourists.
In New Zealand's case, it'll be about $20, $25. Interestingly, a lot of countries, especially in Southeast Asia, do charge this already, have for years. In Cambodia, it's $30. Huh. So they're still underneath what a lot of other countries are charging. But it used to be so nice that you didn't have to pay it when you went to New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah. Sad, but it's here in New Zealand. We have to sneak in one more short break. I promise this is a real quickie. So if you want to call us, we have about 10 minutes left in the show, and we'll get to you. 800-848-9222 is our number. Back in a flash.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show. Only here, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
We are taking your calls, 800-848-9222. Let's move back to the phones where we have Don on the line. Hey, Don, nice to have you call. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yes. So, you were mentioning the tax so the politicians don't have to hurt their own residents. The new stadium in Dallas, the Cowboys Stadium, $1 billion, is almost exclusively paid with a hotel occupancy tax they instituted. So the locals aren't paying for that stadium, the visitors are.
Interesting.
But my question was, next year we'll be hitting 25 years of wedded bliss, and we want to do Paris. And I'm wondering if you think I can do London and Paris in one 10-day or 7-day trip. And I'd also like to incorporate the Tour de France next year into it, and any tips you might have for how to do that.
Yeah, I think that this is one of the easiest city pairs in the world to do. I think 7 to 10 days is optimal, because you could spend a week in Paris and still wish you had another week. And London is just as rich. But 7 will do. 10 is great. The reason it's so easy is there is a train that connects the two through the Channel Tunnel, under the English Tunnel. It'll take you 2 hours and 15 minutes. You could go to London for the day with that. I mean, some people commute longer. So it's really easy. You go from Gare du Nord in Paris to St. Pancras in London. The center of town, you never have to have a car. So the Eurostar, it's the Channel Tunnel run by Eurostar that you would want to do. And if you buy ahead of time, you can get tickets for as low as $60 each way with advance.
Yeah, absolutely. And the airfares this summer to Europe have been extraordinary. Now, you're probably going to pay the least by flying into and out of one destination, but doing the channel makes that absolutely doable.
And I think the destination to choose to fly into is Paris, because Heathrow especially has immense landing fees, sometimes as much as $250 to $300 on top of the ticket. So you could have a steal for $99 base, but you'll still be paying a lot by the time the taxes are in. But Paris is not quite so expensive, so that's a better choice for if you want to save money.
Yeah. I hope that helps, Don. Have a wonderful trip. Let's turn to Joe in New Jersey. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
Great show, as always. You know, I have just a quick comment, question to ask you. Have you been to Louisville, Kentucky lately?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Actually, I went to a wedding there not long ago.
Somebody turned that city around. It's amazing. It's spectacular now. Museums, the waterfront.
Yeah.
The whole 4th Street Live thing.
It is.
I was
I was really amazed when I went there. Not only do they have these fabulous farm-to-table restaurants, but as you say, they have some really cool museums. I really enjoyed the one that is dedicated to Muhammad Ali. They have a whole Muhammad Ali museum, and it's all about boxing history and his history, and it's interactive, so you can actually pretend to get in the ring with him, which is a little silly but fun. It's the home of the Louisville Slugger bats, and so they have a wonderful factory tour. They have that wonderful Louisville theater there. It's a great destination.
I worked there in 2004. I mean, the town used to close up at 5 o'clock, and there were maybe two restaurants, and that was it. But whoever is responsible for turning that place around, it did an amazing job. I'm just glad to see an American city come back to life.
I think that's a really good way to describe it, actually. Really, the changes there have been seismic. I mean, really is, it's like a different city altogether, and it's a place that's worthy of a vacation now, because not only can you go to the racetracks, you can go out into the countryside, see the bluegrass, see the horse farms. It's just a really great part of the United States that was a little dull and isn't anymore.
Even river traffic on the Ohio River, you see barges and paddle boats going from Pittsburgh to New Orleans. It's just, it was fascinating. It was like a trip back in time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you called about that, Joe. Okay. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Let's try and squeeze in a question from Linda in Howard Beach. Linda, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show.
Hi, good afternoon, people. I have a question. In the next few weeks, I'm going to Comic-Con in San Diego, which is an annual thing, and I want to go and spend an afternoon in Tijuana. And I'd like to know if there's current information on traveling. I know you go down with the trolley to San Ysidro and you could walk across, but they used to have a little shuttle bus, which they no longer have. Does anybody have information, either you or listeners, on how I can spend an afternoon in Tijuana?
Jason, do you know this one?
I think it's going to be harder to navigate Comic-Con than it is to navigate Tijuana. I don't know about the shuttle you mean. I think you mean the one on the Mexican side, right?
The Mexico you would just go across the street from the trolley, and they had a little red shuttle, and it went through the parking
now,
lot.
Now, the advice I give people now, once you cross into Mexico, and you're right, there's an easy trolley from San Diego, and then you walk right across. There's a McDonald's there if you want to get a drink before you walk across. Keep your passport. It's not so easy to go with a driver's license anymore, so passports are necessary. When you get to the Mexican side, look for a white and orange taxi libra, because they're the kinds of taxis that have regulated fares. The other ones, like the yellow ones, may cheat you. So look for white and orange. But you can also walk, if you're especially with a couple other people. Tijuana's come a long way. It's a lot nicer than it used to be. Even some people from California are getting condos there and feeling quite secure about it. So especially if you're going during the daytime, you can even walk. But if you're concerned about it, white and orange taxis.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, thank you for calling. And I'm glad we ended on California, because there's some good news and kind of miraculous news in that a government project is going to be ending early in California. We remember last year there were terrible mudslides that closed big portions of Highway 1. Highway 1 is that classic drive that you take between San Francisco and Los Angeles, or vice versa. It's along these spectacular cliff roads. And because of these mudslides, the highway was damaged. And they had said, the government had expected, that the area in Big Sur was going to open in September. That was the last area that they were still working on. But miraculously, they're going to be done early. They're going to be done in time for the
tourist
season.
There are a lot of businesses that really needed that to reopen. It's such a major tourist thoroughfare. It's called the Pacific Coast Highway.
Right,
and
right.
It's one of the great drives of the country. So that's really great news. California got it done early, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be opening at the end of July rather than September, which is great, great news. And hey, just in time, I hear music in my ears. We thank you so much for listening. To those who are traveling, may we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.